Right. Hello, everyone. I'm Sarah Ford. I'm the program manager for Coplex, which is Microsoft's open source project hosting site. Go Coplex! This is our first ever Coplex Town Hall. Point is, for today, we want to give you a chance to show off your projects. We have three volunteers today. They're going to do their demo their projects. And also, I want to open up for your feedback. I have some new designs on how you can contribute, not just source code, but be a part of maybe contributing documentation, whether you're a user or you're a project coordinator, and you want to be able to get more feedback. I'm going to show you the designs for that. And also, you'll see the brand new look and feel of the Coplex.com homepage. And we've been working on that for several months now, tweaking it to the final iterations. So we're excited to show that to you. So the demos we have, first off is Tamia K. I don't want to say anyone's name wrong, so we're using last letters for people's last name. He's going to do the Vista Battery Saver and the Duplicate Image Finder. After Tamir is Joe G, who will be doing the task service demo. And then Kevin D is doing the Community Kit for SharePoint Extended Blog Edition. Extended Blog Edition, EBS. I'll turn it over to Tamir. Thanks.
Woohoo!
Yeah,
but the better Sarah.
That's okay. How do you? Well, actually, I'm here because of Coplex in EDC. But I'll speak about it a bit later. Now I want to present a couple of my projects that actually posted to Coplex. Everything begins with Microsoft. Actually, I created, once I installed Windows Vista on my laptop, I decided to just add my bedroom. I mean, it was about 3 to 5 hours of battery with Windows XP, and became about an hour and a half with Vista. So I decided to write a really simple program that actually managed my laptop, managed Windows Vista, in order to save battery life. So this way I did a Vista battery saver, which actually does nothing except save batteries of laptops running Windows Vista. So as we can see here, the Vista battery saver is over here. It just is running on the background of the screen and manage all batteries and manage everything regarding power supply in Windows Vista. So you can decide what you want to run and what you want don't want to run on battery state, on idle state, or when the laptop is plugged in. The demonstration is very simple. Now my computer is connected to a power socket, and I'm running on maximum performance, as you can see, and I'm running sidebar and other stuff on my machine. Now just to unplug the power, what I actually get, you cannot see it here, that actually the brightness of the screen is degraded. The sidebar is disappear, and now I'm running on a power saver mode. So this way is working. Actually, that's all the application doing. At the very beginning, the application wasn't open source. Just created the application and posted it in my blog, and then I, within a week, I got a very scary email from power management team of Microsoft. I worked as a consultant for Microsoft, vendor of Microsoft, that actually told me that why I'm using internal APIs on Windows Vista. So I'm not allowed to do it, and they won't assume me. So I told that I actually used only public APIs, and then I posted the sources of the application on Coplex. So this way I began to work with Coplex. Very weird way. Okay, now the other applications that actually I'll show you named the Image Duplicate Finder, and this application brings me to PDC. Microsoft Israel, we had a contest of open source application released under MSPL named OpenUp. And as you can see, I'm wearing the t-shirt of this contest, and I think that my wife would love it. Okay, so during the context, they were released a lot of projects which actually can be shown on CodePlex page under the text named Open Up. And as you can see, the first one is Duplicate Image Finder, which is actually my project. Then it's Silhouette Review, Wireless Migrator, as it actually my project too. And we have no internet here. Okay. We'll try to get internet back. Internet, come back, please. Internet. No. Internet. Trying to find a problem with internet. Yeah. Maybe better. So, we need downloads. Okay, so while it's loading, I just show you how the program works, and it's very, very simple. You just run the program, and then you get, for example, an image directory, and just drop it here. You can also choose from folders, and then you hit search. Now TrainMonkey is running in the folder and looking for pictures that look similar one to other. So actually once it will be done, I think we need more computation power in order to help our monkeys to run faster. Because now I'm in power server mode. Okay, now my monkeys will run faster, as you can see. Okay, and I found a couple of pictures which actually looks similar. It's not really similar. They have no the same name, and just looks like the same. This one picture. This another. You can see the pictures are actually different. However, they look like the same picture. Also, we found another picture. We have three duplicates, possible duplicates of this picture. This one is original. This one is duplicate. And another picture. It also looks very similar to the original one. And this way it's working. Now you can just delete picture, either one or first or second picture. And then actually you can make your folder smaller. Now I want to show the projects that actually run on context. So you can see very useful projects like Defrost Outlook. Who had issues with frosting Outlook? Outlook that works and suddenly it stopped works. So this program actually solved this issue. This open source. Also, WCF visualizer tool, webcam control for WPF, which actually we have now in WPF, wrapper for Google API, and many other good pictures, good projects like games in DirectX like SnakeX, Poker and WPF, etc., etc., etc. Now, actually, I have a bunch of projects that I currently maintaining in Kotlex, which is duplicate image finder, Silverlight 2.0 support for Hebrew and English and Arabic languages. It's bidirectional support for Silverlight. Control library, Vista Battery Saver, WPF, webcam control, a number of plugins for Windows Live Writer and Virus Migrator, which actually helps you to migrate your wireless accounts between computers running Windows Vista. You just can back up all your configuration of wireless networks and bring it to another computer, or the same computer, after reinstallation of operation system, which is very useful. Thank you to Kotlex to bring me here, and use it. It's very good project that actually brings me TFS open source in my machine and allows me to manage my project in a redundant service. Thank you.
Are you running?
1285.
Try 1024, see if that helps.
Joe Guadagno, I'm the founder of Southeast Valley .NET User Group, based out of Chandler, Arizona, just outside of Phoenix. I'm going to show you a program that I created about a year and a half ago, and I wrote an article on it on Code Project, if I'm allowed to say that. And a lot of people asked about it, wanting to actually see it as open source, so I went and implemented it at open source. Originally, it was hosted on SourceForge, but I didn't really like the way that they did things, so I moved it over to Kotlex because it was a bit easier to implement and to track. And now that they have built-in subversion support, makes it even easier. So, the solution is broken up into many different files, and essentially what it does, it provides you a WinAt type of scheduling for .NET assemblies. So it runs as a NT service that pulls a directory when it first boots up. It looks to see if any of the assemblies implement this iTask plugin interface, which I've highlighted here. If it does, it loads it up. One of the requirements in the iTask plugin interface is to implement an execute method and schedule. Everything else are all, they're not optional, they're required because it's part of the interface, but they're more just meta helper functions, author, description, and I'll show you why in a minute. Essentially, the scheduling, you can run it at any given time. You can run it once a day, every 5 minutes, only on the fifth hour of every Friday of every month. You can schedule it to run at multiple times. And the scheduling piece, I didn't really work on. I borrowed it from a Code Project article, which is credited on the website for this, which is kotlex.com/task-service. And we use it to run mainly a lot of our data feeds at work, where you have multiple different applications coming in. Some of the feed is ready at 2, some of the feed is ready at 4, so we schedule a lot of different applications to run at this point. And we provide a bunch of helper utility classes to get a list of all the plugins, get the folders, and so on and so forth. Included in the project are 3 sample plugins. One is file copy, so it has all the logic in it to copy a file from one folder to the next. You can put in multiple files, file mask for it. There's also a run command, which will run a command prompt at any given time with whatever parameters you want to pass to it. And then there's a service harness, and a task plugin test. The service is the NT service that runs, but in case for any of you that have ever built service, you know that debugging NT service is a bit of a pain. So we include a task service harness, which is essentially a console application that mimics the what happens in the service, because all the real work happens in the task lib library. That's where it does all the loading, reading of the scheduling, assigning the schedules to the worker queues, making sure they get executed on time. And then there's task service setup. And the task service setup essentially builds out the directory structure for it, including the logs and the plugins, and assigns the special icons to the project folder. So you'll get, you know, the nice little pretty icons on your desktop like this for the plugin folders and stuff. So this is one of the other applications that's included with it, which is the plugin test. Essentially allows you to load the plugins one at a time and figure out what you want to run. Here it read this directory here, and you can browse and choose another directory and reload them. Here there are three different plugins. You click on it, it'll first load and tell you all the different plugins that are in that assembly. You can put more than one plugin in an assembly, essentially more than one function you want to run in an assembly. And here it lists some of the metadata, which is part of the interface, the name, description, extension, description, and so on. And here's a list of the schedule that's going to happen. Here, this particular one offers 6 or 7 different schedules for it. And it's just primarily to show you what the interval is. You'll see it's scheduled to run at 151, and then at a simple interview, which is just one at a time. Then there's an event which you can schedule to run from like 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. and then stop running. Event queue will just keep queuing them up, and so on and so forth. Most of that is documented in the project documentation. And it provides a simple test app, so I can hit execute. And if the demo gods are with me, you'll get some test status. And of course, it didn't run because I don't have D drive mapped anymore. Everything is handled through configuration. I don't use the configuration management that comes in .NET because it wasn't as flexible as I needed it to be. So I'm going to show you a simple configuration file. The configuration files are based on environments. So you can create a stage. You know, in most cases, you have development, system integration, UAT production. Based on the stage, it'll load something. So you can input your host name in this format. It's commented out because it will just run anywhere. Based on your host name, it will go and run the commands. In this case, I'm loading a list of commands, and these are all the different commands that I am providing for the run command plugin. So in this case, I'm going to load up an instance of Notepad. For the file copy, you'll see here I'm copying files that are in Ctemp to Dtemp. If I actually change that and rebuild it, it'll load it. We load the files through a separate application configuration, which essentially is a public class. We use the plugin name /config to make sure that it's for just a naming convention. And then we have properties that mirror to those attributes. So we load the schedule, load the log for net configuration, and any other properties or directories. So there should be a one-to-one match with all the settings to the configuration file to make it easier, so you have kind of IntelliSense for your application configuration. And included in the project is one other thing as an add-on. There is the ability for you to create a task out of the box. You do file new project. If you copy it to your exported templates directory, you'll see an item here, a task plugin test. So I can create that, put it in whatever directory I want, click OK, and it'll build out all the necessary information for me so I can start a task with the line that says to do, and that's where you actually implement it. So once we go there, I didn't add it to the existing solution because I didn't want to mess up that solution. But you'll see as a plugin show, when we go back, I reopened the previous solution so that it's cleaner. Otherwise, I'm going to have to edit in all the references and everything else. So if I add the existing solution, you'll see it better. So I'll give it a minute to add, and then you'll see. Here we go. I'm ready to add. I open it up. And under private methods, execute right here is where you go and implement whatever you want in this section here. So in this case, the sample just goes through a loop and does absolutely nothing. Any questions?
Talk about today is the community kit for SharePoint extended blog edition. And to just kind of start out, I'll start with a disclaimer in that this is not one of my own projects. This is one of the Microsoft sponsored projects. Well, of course, not officially ever is, but it's heavily used and developed by the SharePoint team. Another thing is there is the primary developer. Is Vince Rothwell, also known as the King. So I'll kind of come back around to him later to tell you about this. But how many people here have used SharePoint? Got it installed? Okay. One of the things that is sort of lacking in SharePoint is a really comprehensive blog and wiki and any other Web 2.0 kind of functionality. And so one of the things that they have done with this project is kind of fill the gap in the shortcomings to really make SharePoint as a platform work just like you would expect an actual blog engine to work like you find on the web. So one of the things that here's what I'm going to talk about. What I'd like to do, instead of going through lots of code and things like that, I'll just tell you about the project, and it is a huge project, and then show it to you kind of in use in the wild to give you a feel for how that works. So as far as the main features go, a big one is this thing they call the Modular Theme Framework. This is actually my favorite part of this project. But what it lets you do is on the fly switch out master pages and all of the other XSLT views and looks in SharePoint. So has anybody here actually used the publishing features of SharePoint, kind of make a public-looking web. Okay. The one of the things that you find is that works great, except that the blog template that ships with SharePoint doesn't actually support running it. So it's actually almost impossible to make a blog look like you want it to. I mean, it's pretty much going to look out of the box like an out-of-the-box blog. So I'll show you that in a little bit. Another thing was friendly URLs and referrals. So instead of getting, you know, those URLs that say post.aspx ? ID equals, you actually can, it has a built-in routing engine, so you can use more of that RESTful type format for accessing your posts. It supports the Metablog API, so you can use LiveWriter or any other of the blog writing engines that are out there. Kismet and CAPTCHA, so since this is kind of targeted for putting blogs out on the internet, in the public space, you know, blog spam is always a real big problem. So with these two mechanisms in place, you can pretty much kind of set it and forget it, although it still does give you that anonymous moderated commenting that you can follow. Also supports linkbacks, pingbacks, trackbacks, all those things. A big feature that's just completely missing from the out-of-the-box SharePoint experience. And then it also has a nice caching. So let me just show you a little bit of this. And what I actually have here is a blog that I haven't turned the modular theme framework on yet. And so, you know, if you just look through here, this is what a SharePoint blog looks like out of the box. It looks nice and clean, but if you've seen SharePoint before, it's like every site looks the same. So the first thing I want to do is let me go ahead and sign in here. Okay, so I had to do that so I can get into my blog settings. One of the things that the extensions installs is this new site admin feature here. Settings. Where you can access most of all the settings and maps and features that I just discussed there. I'm going to go ahead and turn on this modular theme framework. Okay, and then I'll go back to the front page. So immediately this is applying the default theme from there. One of the great things about the way that this modular theming framework works, unlike the publishing scheme and the master pages within SharePoint, is that all the master pages and all the other theme components just sit in a folder. So what that lets you do is actually change them on the fly, not just as a blog administrator, but you can actually allow all your visitors to actually change themes on the fly. So let me just... these, but then I'll kind of end on the one that I normally use. So here you see it just on the fly changes. One of the great things about this is it actually stores the theme preference per user in a cookie. So if I switch it to this theme and I come back to this blog site later, it'll actually look just like this. Let's see. Completely different look there. And now I'm going to switch it to the theme that I generally use on this blog. And one of the, you know, the thing that I really love about this, and you can kind of see by this particular theme, it really gives you a way of making the blog look exactly like you want it to, which is something that's really, really kind of hard for SharePoint itself. So, you know, you see here, it's actually a whiteboard, obviously. A couple other points of hits I want to make here. All of, like, say this tag cloud over here. So there's lots of web parts that you can get for SharePoint that actually do this. But the web parts are kind of a pain because the deployment cycle for a web part
You know, you have to compile it, then you have to put in a solution, then you got to deploy it, then you got to apply it, and it takes a long time. All of the stuff that you see here is actually driven by XSLT files, and so including the tag cloud over here. So what's really nice about this is, as a developer, as someone that's designing your site, you can actually just open up SharePoint Designer, make a couple quick changes, hit save, hit refresh on the page, and you immediately see all those changes. Just another couple, you know, something that's really kind of cool in here. Because it's using XSLT files, I've got just a JSON feed from Twitter. So all the post-it notes that are popping up at the bottom are actually being pulled in real time from Twitter. And again, it's just an XSLT setting. It kind of renders those. Now, let's see, I talked about a couple other things just really quick about the ferals. So, like over here in the tag cloud, you can't probably see this, but hovering over that, it's actually pointing to... I'll just hit it. It's pointing to an address that's /archive/tags/development. Development being the tag. This page doesn't actually exist, so it's doing dynamic URL remapping based on the URLs to take you to a controller in a very MVC-style way that then renders the page appropriately. And then the last thing I want to show you here, since we don't have a whole lot of time, let's make it down to a comment field. All right. So any post that you have, and notice up there at the top again too, the URL for this one is archive/2008/09/23/, and then it gives a friendly name, that ferl, for this particular post, which is actually pulled from the title. If we look down here at the comments, what this is actually doing, it will hide all of the back-end SharePoint stuff from any public user, because the last thing you want a public user doing is getting into all of those actual list views of your site. And so when you make a comment, it'll actually post it to the comments with, you know, elevated privileges and do all of that so that you can actually securely publish this SharePoint site out on the web. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about then, just kind of come back here, is to deploy this solution. It's a simple WSP file that has a setup that you have to run on your server. So you would need admin access to the server. It doesn't need to be a MOS server. It could just be a WSS server. And it pretty much does all the work for you. From that point, SharePoint Designer is probably the best tool to actually get in and customize this site. I've actually have deployed this about five places, which represents maybe like 40 or 50 different blog instances, and it works great. And actually about 2 weeks ago, they actually just released a new version of this 2.5, which honestly, I haven't even checked out yet. But places to find more information about this, the Coplex project site there is /CKS, and the CKS project is very large. It's actually an extended blog edition, an extended wiki edition, the user group version. So this is actually the extended blog edition. You can actually check out my blog, which is actually just thepickboard.com, and I have three kind of making of pickboard type screencasts on there. You can check out, and then also Vince Rosswell's website. He's the lead developer on this project. Also goes by the Kid. The website is kid.me.uk. So, SharePoint.
Thanks to everyone who presented. And now you're going to see the mock-ups for the new Coplex.com homepage. So I believe earlier everyone has gone to Coplex.com. It's a tad bit green for my taste. Ever since I joined the team about a year ago, I've had this goal. I'm going to reduce the amount of green. Some popular feedback that we've seen besides the green is some of the text never changes about the tool. Even though you have the latest releases, it seems that projects with most downloads is always the same, even though this is showing the most recent activity in the past 7 days. And then the new projects, we try to give them some face time on the site. And note that these are their images. So I'll try to scroll in. This is not in any way be the final look, exact look. Which way would actually have content. Let me try to reopen that. So here you will see the user, or you as yourself who is... Well, let's start with logged out. There we go. So now... Is that high enough? Scrolled in enough? Okay, the people in the back are nodding. Right. What's like the first thing that pops into your head? Keep that in mind as you go through, because I'm going to open it up to questions and for people to shout out their feedback. For those who don't know, that the Coplex team, there's 17 of us, and we work in a room, all 17 of us, a size of the square, is where we're sitting. So silence makes me nervous. I'm used to people, with the whole idea is communication, whatever method is best, do it. And if it's fastest, just shout out the question in the room, you do it. So I'm not used to silence. So let me know how you feel, what you like, what you don't like. Don't be shy. Some of the changes we have on the mock-up. Notice that there's no longer a big green banner at the top. We changed it to more of a neutral gray color. And if you've gone to, as the presenters have shown on their project pages, notice that the logo now for their project is in the square, it's in the center, it's in the left. And their Coplex logo is more of a neutral gray color on the side. This is it, that you don't have to worry about your icons or your project logo having to clash with the big green nuclear waste color now. You can actually have a little bit more control over your project page. So we're taking that same look and feel to the main pages or the site pages, like the project directory. So the logo here, working with the designers, the graphic designers, with the gray background, the hexagons, but making sure that you can still read Coplex. Some info. We made this box green to draw your eye to. If you're on Coplex.com, you're probably looking for a project, so go there to start. The news feed, so there will be one link with whatever's the latest thing from the Coplex blog. Then get help, improve Coplex, and create a project. And now we've broken up the columns. Instead of it being horizontal rows, they're now vertical columns. So most downloaded, new releases, the tag cloud. And as we remove the weightedness of the tags, we've been doing this slowly. We deploy every 3 weeks. So as a program manager coming from Visual Studio for 6 years, the 3-week deployment cycles, I tell my people my day job is to really learn Agile. But yeah, so you've slowly seen some of these changes over time, like it is today. And then the Y join. So let's get some feedback now. So this is when you are not logged in. What are people's first impressions? Hopefully someone less green. Can I get a less green out there? Anyone?
I think it looks good.
It looks good.
Do you want to walk down and mic?
If
I can't hear.
I was going to repeat. Is it bad? Is it good for you to film?
Either way.
Like I said, it looks pretty good. The most downloaded, I would put next to the most downloaded and new releases, have the RSS feed links there so you don't have to go searching for the pages. I know now the current RSS feed has, I think, most downloaded, new releases, and new projects all together in one. I think they should also be all separated as separated feeds.
We're seeing some nods. Anyone else? Any other comments? Agree? Disagree? What about the logo? How do people feel about the... Is the logo visible enough? Somewhat? Not enough?
It's good.
It's good? Here we go.
Yeah, the logo is pretty good. It looks like slashes from here. I would use the trick of filmmakers just to canvas each letter with contrast color, and then it will be much more visible.
I'll make sure they get it. I'll make sure they get that feedback. Yeah. Now you're going to see the experience when you're locked in. Changes besides the obvious, your username and that you can sign out, is Tag Cloud drops down, and your projects, recently visited projects, and your tags now here on the homepage. So I'm seeing some nodding.
Comments, issues.
Wait, we have a comment. Do you want to? Does it make Dan's life easier with the camera?
I would add here also comments, issues. New discussions that were recently opened for all projects in order to not to look for it inside each one.
And you agree?
Yeah, I would say you should, in addition to your tags, because, you know, to me, I don't think my tags are really that important. For me, it's here, at least what options you have there. I think issues and discussions should also be available right there as quick links. And or, you know, optionally email those discussions and issues when they're posted and not have to go there and turn it on and find out 3 days later that you had issues posted.
It should go on by default.
I'll comment on the email notification. That is something on my short list of features that we're working on. Because a big bet was RSS at the beginning of Cookbox, but yeah, it's been a popular request to have email notifications when things change, and that's on the short to-do list. We also are toying with the idea of a user dashboard where you can see the latest traffic for either your projects, your favorite projects, the projects that you are following. So right now we're kind of in the middle, how much goes into the homepage and how much do we do on the user dashboard. So cool thing about Agile, you get to try little things as you go along. And so maybe, we'll take a stab and see what we can do for our issues and stuff.
If you're signed in, if you already have the homepage, maybe you have your own personalized homepage. With signed in, I think seeing a dashboard is much better. You know, because you get what you want. You can find out what the new releases are, and the most downloaded files are relatively easy. You know, if you make them separate projects, you know, separate pages that you can get to. But to have your dashboard, so I'm signed in, I get to see what I want, not have to worry with new releases and the most downloaded shows I can get from RSS feeds.
Thanks for the feedback. I'm going to sit here.
The question is, who the target audience for this page?
It's the target audience for the homepage?
Yeah. For when you log in. I mean, if it's developers of this project, it should be probably a dashboard. However, if it uses it as no project, however, looking at whole projects and lots of projects, we will be useful for them to add projects to their list.
That makes sense. If you're already logged in, what's the homepage for? Maybe it could be used as the user dashboard. But if you're not logged in, probably you're a consumer of open source software and you want to be able to, the target audience in that case is to be able to browse and find stuff. That's great feedback. Thank you. And any other items about the project, the home pages, before I move on to the documentation? Oh, yeah, please.
A little more on what Gary just said. I think, you know, like you said, the home page for someone logged in, especially if they have projects, project should be more catered toward displaying them information about their projects and maybe above the fold, you know, spread out to your projects recently visited and your tags across the horizontal and the other stuff.
No, I think the site looks really great. The only thing I would add back is the number of downloads.
Mic a little closer to...
I would add back the number of downloads, you know, for, over by, like, most downloads, because I kind of get a kick out of that.
Like
yeah.
Here?
Yeah, so it's Ajax Control Tool, like 500,000 downloads, something like that.
So, so that number is 225...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the download count.
Oh, sweet.
In fact, you had to ask it. That means I get to go back to our designers and say, work a little more in this.
Regarding number of downloads, for what period of time?
It's the past 7 days. We're trying to keep things fresh, like recent activity. Well, we say it's most downloaded and our recent activity are mostly in the past 7 days. If you go to the project directory right now, we've been doing a lot of work in the past couple months on the project directory. And if you ever want to see a little tip about Coplex, because you know I'm known for tips and tricks, if you ever want to see the total number of projects that Coplex has available right now. And these are published projects, the number of projects that anyone has access to. Just do either click on Files, Project Directory, or do a search with the edit box, the search field blank, and it will pull up whenever the internet gods smile upon me. The number of results will be an unfiltered list of the total number of projects. But while that... come on. So we did just recently add, like, past 7 days to clarify some things. So we're making steps that way. We also have the ability now to sort based on ratings. Ratings and reviews were added over the summer, and now you can sort based on ratings. And we're still making tweaks to the ranking sort order. And now what I want to show you all is... documentation. It's been a popular question at the Coplex booth this week about, hey, what are all the ways that I can contribute to an open source project on Coplex, but maybe not necessarily being a developer? Oh, I'm sorry, did you guys have questions about the homepage? So what other ways can I contribute? And on the other side, project coordinators are always looking for people to help with documentation, with frequently asked questions, things along those lines. So we've been working on designs for maybe it's a documentation tab. These are our wireframes. We don't do through full specifications like a traditional Microsoft team would do, because we're deploying every 3 weeks. We do about 2 weeks worth of feature work and a week worth of bug fixing, give or take. You kind of use these wireframes of here's what the UI should look like, here's what the experience should look like. Yeah. One of the things we're looking at is adding a tab for actual documentation. So there's, for a couple of reasons. One, there's consistency across all the projects. So if you're a consumer and you're going from one project to another, you know exactly where to go over time to find documentation. The other thing is to encourage project owners to write documentation, to write user guides. I wanted to get people's knee-jerk reactions or initial feedback on this documentation tab. Is this helpful or?
Are you going to be providing really upload files, or is it going to be like that sort of wiki?
That was going to be my next question.
I think it should be with regular documents being able to upload Word docs and CSV files and provide the ability for wiki. Like recently promoting my project there, the wiki is pretty difficult. I would say, you know, Word doc would be a tech problem.
Any particular, besides the usability of the wiki, if it's being difficult to create documentation, that's what I heard you say. Any other reasons we're using Word Docs? Like, why? Like, do you have a strong preference one over the other?
Well, considering this project that I had was previously, I wrote documentation for it already in Word and HTML. There's no real easy way to get it up on the Coplex Wiki so that everyone else was available. So what I had to do was, you know, select all, copy, paste, and tweak with all the right tags to, you know, generate them to provide. If you didn't have that, maybe just a Word import or HTML import or something, that could get it there. Because there are some people that, you know, it's easier to type in Word than it is to, you know, type, you know, a new language you have to learn. Now we have to learn math.
Thanks. Anyone else? Like Word versus Wiki? Any strong feelings, opinions? Anyone disagree with the tab, the file tab, or the documentation? No. Did you have a comment about the Word? Thanks.
If not import, then definitely, I think the ability to export from your Wiki into the CHM would be excellent. You know, I'd say import and import it so that it'd be easier to provide that in multiple formats.
We just talked about a contribution request from my users. What if I provide the button, I want to contribute to this project? Because it takes a lot of time for users to move how to add themselves to the project, and to ask for the project to
ask the project, yes.
To just button, I want to contribute.
Yeah, that's something else we're looking at. How do we connect the project coordinator with someone who wants to contribute? And some of the ideas are, do we add a button? Another idea is, do we have like a one ad section on, like maybe it's a Coplex.com site or one of the, like a project, like a site page like the project directory. There's just one ad where I can say, hey, I'm an old former MSA accessibility tester. Does anyone need some help? I don't have too much time to spare, but if you need someone to do some quick testing, I'll be more than happy. And then to just connect people. Like, I'll know project owners will come to me and say, hey, how do I find a developer? Or how do I connect with them? So,
yeah. To some kind of social network. Questions if you want to do use project directly, social network, and think about another place to go.
Thanks. So that's what I have for this page. So the documentation here, these icons here indicate it's a admin tool or admin field. I'll have some other questions for you all for about the fact, but this is kind of like the look and feel. And if no documentation's been filled in yet, then the doc member will see the document. The project coordinator would see the documentation tab and get this. Hey, this is currently hidden, so users are not frustrated that when they go to the tab they see nothing. But it's kind of like a hey, it's a great thing to do for your community. And it's going to the next thing I have is about the import export along the lines. With the idea to make it as simple as possible to create documentation of having a template and clicking a button that will pre-populate the wiki, and then you can just fill in the items. And then, of course, I know it's happened to me quite a few times, you'll be working in the wiki, you'll go to another page, or you'll click a link that loads a new page and you've lost all your changes, but you can't go back. So we're going to have a save as draft. So you can at least save your current work. Yeah, that was the joy of being having three projects when Coplex first started, went live. I got to experience all the pain and then came over, and now I get to be the one to complain to myself. But yeah, what do people feel about the template? Is this the right approach? What, do you think this will encourage creation of documentation? I'm getting a few thumbs up, some nods. Okay, I got two thumbs up, so thanks. All right. Now, and this is
the frequently asked questions page. We're thinking, the ideas here are, we will do questions, answering questions. You can mark something as a question or as a comment, have an answer. We'll implement that at some point. And then after that, you can say, okay, this is a frequently asked question, and the project coordinator or member of the team can flag it as a frequently asked question. But it wouldn't just be like a raw cut and paste into the pack. You would be able to edit and just use it as a basis, and then it would upload on the documentation page, like, here's your frequently asked questions. So the idea of what do people think about the idea of being able to create a pack on the discussion page, and then having it linked to the that documentation tab. You're getting a lot of thumbs up, so.
Got a comment.
I actually think, like, if you form a community around your project, you should be able to, like, promote active users as moderators on your forum, or some kind of recognition form.
So, yeah, having, like, user recognition. Are you talking about in terms of getting points or number?
No, like, but just allow them to get, like, be able to give extra privileges. No, you're not a...
Yeah, the idea of an extra role to get certain privileges, such as that maybe you're not a developer on the team, but you should be something else. Yeah, right. Like something, like just more privileges. Could that, one of the things we're toying with is, do we need a editor role, like a documentation editor role? Maybe this is the same as like a moderator role.
Yeah.
Like you can, if you can edit the wiki, you can also edit the, you can mark questions as being answered on the forums.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm being told exactly, two exactlys.
Speaking about roles, so it may be possible to add multiple roles as a user. So it can be just contributor and document manager.
Interesting, yeah, that's something I haven't considered yet, the idea of multiple roles. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thanks. So those are the questions I have. I want to be respectful of everyone's time. This went from 1:30 to 2:30. We will be around all week at the Coplex booth, where you can guys see more questions. I'll be around Colin, our developer, also cameraman besides Dan. We can also help with questions. But yeah, thanks everyone, especially to those who came up and gave a comment. For participating in this first ever Coplex Town Hall, I have the Coplex branded jackets.
Ooh. You have them in developer sizes?
I have from medium to double extra large. So, but yeah, so if you ever had the mic in your hand, please come and take first grabs, and then everyone else. I think I brought about 30 jackets, and it seems to be about the size in here. So thanks again, everyone, and thank you for your support of Coplex. Embrace open source and Coplex. Thank you.
Woo-hoo!